Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Again, it just, for some reason, today just became a day we just are looking at all different lists that ChatGPT has created when it comes to sports. Because this sports conversations are always about lists, right? It's just, we always end up making that list. Who else are you putting on that list? Who's on that Mount Rushmore? Who would you say that? Who's better than who? You know, like, that's just what we do when we talk about sports a lot of times. And so it started with a list of the top 20 players since 2000 that's played in New York and New Jersey. And it's a list that we, you know, again, we went over it as weird. But it was mostly you could accept the names. But then we carried it to the top five NBA players, which is always the big, that's the big debate in sports. And, you know, that even was, yeah, okay, that wasn't so bad. But the baseball one, I found a baseball top 50. And the top 10 players, there's two of them that most people have seen play. And the,
of the top 12, actually.
Actually, you're right, top 12, two players on that list. It's Barry Bonds and Pete Rose that I at least can say I watched both those guys play in their careers. Everybody else is, I got to go to YouTube.
And the first thing you think of when you hear Bonds and Pete Rose.
Yeah, the notorious. Right, the notorious things. Not, you know, I remember Charlie Hustle, Pete Rose. Like, I at least have that.
But the that's not the first thing you think of.
But no, it's not. And not anymore. And Barry Bonds, I remember prime Bonds, you know, Pittsburgh Pirates, but no
Before
one
his head got fat.
Yeah, then, you know, we have big head, you know, San Francisco Giants, Balco.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate. But think about this. The greatest player in the history of your sport, the AI came up with Babe Ruth.
Which many people would argue is correct.
You could say it is. And Dino came in, he said, Babe Ruth stopped playing in 1935.
And the next line was, we've had another world war since then.
But just think about that for a minute, though.
And no other
That's
sport.
The best player in the history of sport stopped playing when the sport, like, think about how much is different about the game now.
Yeah. It's part
and
of what's
no
wrong
one
with
has done anything better than that? No one?
It's also, you know, it's also
Man, Shohei Ohtani needs to hit 700 home runs in his career.
But even, I wonder, because baseball, especially like the fan base, when we look at the fan base in its totality, trends older, right? Like they are, the older generation is so protective of its history and like what it was able to watch in real time. I don't know that there's much that Shohei can do where you'll get a guy who watched Babe Ruth if he's still alive to say, yeah, you know, but he's better than Babe Ruth. Now, that happens with most sports, right? Like, you know, people who watched Bill Russell will always argue he's the greatest of all time. Like that.
But not many people actually watched Bill Russell play.
Yeah. But I'm
saying,
in
the late 60s.
Like, but at least for these other sports, though it feels like ancient history, it's not as long as, you know, the 1920s and 1930s, where you got to go back for baseball.
30s.
1930s.
We are in the 20s in this century, and we're talking about the 30s of the previous one. That's the best player in your sport.
Yeah.
And out of the top 12, like you said, again, you could argue Ken Griffey probably should be higher, right? Who else could
I'm still annoyed. A-Rod's not in the top 50.
I don't see.
That's Craig Biggio's 39. I mean, what are we doing with this list?
I-Rod is on this list, though.
Yeah.
Mike, again, I'm telling you, I'm looking at this list as much as I possibly can, and I do not see Alex Rodriguez. That is hard to believe. It does make you question. Once again, this is the lesson. Don't trust AI. It is fallible. Yes, don't trust Allen Iverson either.
Got you to a finals.
He'll
by the way,
step right over
so
you.
So we were talking also about like a top five of guys who could have been otherworldly had it not been for circumstance injuries.
Yeah, who else?
Off the air, I had mentioned Bill Walton. I didn't say it on the air. Shout out to Rick DiPietro who just texted me. That's another solid one.
Yeah,
Bill Walton.
The feet.
Won an MVP, but obviously couldn't overcome injuries, and that cut his career short. So Bill Walton's another.
And we had a tweet from someone that said, Drazen Petrovic.
Yeah, that's another.
Played
really
for
good
the
one.
Nets. Yeah. Great shooter from Croatia.
Awesome. Yep.
And terribly how his life was cut short during his career. He probably would have had some 3-point records by the time he was done playing.
Oh, of course.
Because that guy, you talk about somebody that embraced shooting threes at a time where it still was just
very
starting
new.
To become a thing.
Yeah, very new.
Great shooter. Yeah, so that's interesting. Those lists are fun. Again, that's what this is about, though. It's always about the interesting and the fun lists and all that other stuff. But the baseball one, it does make you crazy. And then it makes you wonder, too, like in the current age, because I don't believe there's any current players on this list, right? I didn't name any guys who are still playing, did I?
No, you didn't.
No, I did not. Who right now? Like, yeah, I mentioned Ohtani.
Trout.
Oh, my God. Trout. No. Everybody loves him. He's such a great player. I get it.
No one ever sees him play.
Ever. I mean, it's a myth.
You've seen Babe Ruth play more than you saw Mike Trout.
I could tell you more about Babe Ruth's abilities than I can about Mike Trout. I have no idea.
Three playoff games.
And if you told me, well, they need to put, you know, Anaheim on national TV more, I'd say, no, I'm all set.
I'm good.
I'm good there.
Why aren't we talking about
But Ohtani, Judge, the way he's playing right now.
No, Trout has to be part of the conversation.
I'm joking, of course. But you see what I'm saying, right? Like of the current players, Bryce Harper, who are you saying, like, could be a guy that gets pushed onto a list like that, you know, 20 years from now?
If you go
when they redo this list, who's playing right now that'll push his way on?
Clayton Kershaw.
Kershaw's a good name. Would Verlander be there?
I mean, yeah, he got two championships now with the Astros?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he cheated, but
yeah,
one of the greatest pitchers I've ever seen.
Don't know if he cheated.
He was cheating.
He was cheating too?
Yeah, Mets would love for him to still be cheating now.
Need him to cheat.
By the way, congrats to the Mets. Nice.
Are they over 500 now? Did they finally get up above water?
Full game above 500.
That's lovely.
Minor step, baby steps.
Right, excellent.
But it's progress. So shout out to the Mets yesterday.
All right, shouting out the Mets. How about we shout out the Yankees as well? We'll do a pinstripe report right here. It's brought to you by Samuel Institute for Pain Management. And the Yankees are how many over 500 now? Would it be 11?
11.
They're 11 now. Another win. 10 more runs. I mean, you know, their offense is clicking. And yet, they're still waiting on some people that are supposed to bring some offense.
And since Judge has been back, they've played, 24 games? They're 15-6. I'm sorry, 21 games, 15-6. So another...
His impact on winning... Is notable.
It's unbelievable.
They were 10 games out of first place. And it was like that, all right, it's the time to panic. Like, Bart was trying to get me to admit it's time to panic. I'm like, dude, it's May. It's not time to panic. It was 10 games, you're not going to win a division. How many are we out of the wild card? It was never more than like one. They were always like right there. I'm like, all right, as long as the wild card's there, I'm not worried. And
They've cut it to five now, right?
Judge
has been back. His impact on winning can't be understated.
But you know what's funny, too, is that while like Aaron Hicks now is going to – he's playing for the Orioles. Gary Sanchez is now on his 13th. Where is he with the Padres now?
He's like, just got signed by the Padres. The Mets designated him for
right,
assignment.
So the Yankees have moved on from some players that fans just don't want to see anymore. Like, this, I swear, Hicks became like the Jacoby Ellsbury of this generation. So you're just tired of watching him – as a Yankee.
Hicks, maybe,
although you never got to see Ellsbury actually play.
I was just going
to
say, Hicks
fair
might
point.
Have gotten it even worse because
he had
he
to
was
be
playing.
There.
He had to actually, it's the first at-bat of the game. Yankees up 17 runs.
Boo.
And he's getting booed. But he also allowed it to affect him in the field. It was, I contend, one of the worst things to happen to Aaron Hicks was...
Golf.
Was...
Golf. Let's be honest.
No.
How many times could you have, like, I got a lat strain. Really? From what?
Who was it that, who was hated more than Aaron Hicks last year? I forget who he was. He was Joey Gallo.
Oh, Gallo.
So one
oh
of the
my
worst,
God, that poor guy.
I thought one of the worst things to happen for Aaron Hicks was Joey Gallo getting traded because now.
And then producing.
All the smoke was on Hicks now.
That's a good point.
Before it was like 60-40. He got the brunt of it. But the Yankees, man, they can't stop scoring runs. Meanwhile, Bader's hurt.
Yeah,
Rizzo's hurt. Stanton's still not back.
Bader
Josh
on the
Donaldson.
IL, as we expected. Donaldson is, they're waiting to get him back. Stanton waiting to him get back.
Can I
mean,
just
all
say
these
this,
guys
though?
Are playing right now in down in the minors.
I saw the Josh Donaldson update. He's trending toward coming back.
Trending.
I'm thinking, can he tweak something?
Well, good.
Can we tweak something else?
Take your time.
Take your time.
Take your time. But one player that was starting to move into the crosshairs of Yankee fans, especially with the arrival of Anthony Volpe.
Gleyber?
No. Well, Gleyber, I'm always going to side-eye Gleyber.
Oh, IKF.
Yeah, IKF.
And yesterday, pretty good.
Well, not just yesterday, but yeah, yesterday, again, four hit, four RBIs. The Yankees went 10-2. But for him, it's just he has done a little more. And I give him credit because, look, he lost his job to the kid, and then the popularity part of it as well. Fans were like, I'm not here to see this guy, you know?
Well, he lost his job before even Volpe got here. Remember, he got benched in the playoffs last year.
Well, he couldn't hit at all. And so you get put into the crosshairs. They knew he was a space holder. That's all he was going to be. This was not a long-term solution. It's short. And so for him, I know it's like these are athletes, they're supposed to be mentally tough and all that crap. But the reality is what it is. He lost his job to a kid. He was no longer a guy that, like, if he looked around, the writing was on the wall. He could have gone into a shell. He could have gotten into depression and like, well, get me out of here. This isn't going to work. Like, some guys do go there, especially in New York. But I give him credit, man. Like, he just stayed with it. He's producing right now. And for Aaron Boone, I mean, he loves what he sees.
Just continue on building on what's been a really impressive couple of weeks for him at the plate. We've seen some power in there, and then tonight just hitting the ball on a line a lot. And he's in a really good place, had a great BP again today, and is carrying it right into the game. But the work he's been doing behind the scenes has him in a really good spot, and he's walking up there with a lot of confidence right now.
And that's what you love to see is that part of it, too. The work and then the work translating into production. And now he's become, again, a piece that he'll get cheers when he comes back to Yankee Stadium. And for IKF, it's just what Boone said. It's just all about that hard work.
Yeah, I feel like this is what I can do. This is kind of what I expected to do. You know, I worked my butt off to make adjustments, and I felt like I ran away from them early. And our hitting coaches really helped me stick with the changes I've made. There's been times where I wanted to shy away from it and go back to hitting ground balls up the middle or, you know, just slapping the ball around. But, you know, they've been keying in on me and, you know, telling me to stick with it, and it's starting to finally pay off.
I mean, who knew? Swing harder. But seriously, he's swinging with more power, and you're starting to see him actually hit for power, a guy that was a bit of a slap kind of player.
I still don't have any confidence that when the biggest games of the season are played, he's going to have a tremendous impact.
Ain't about that, though, man.
No, I get these games have to matter, and what he's doing now and producing, you applaud him for. I understand that, but I think for most fans, you just look back on that trade for IKF and Donaldson, and you say it was a disaster because of what happened last year. Those guys were awful last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now Donaldson's hurt. IKF, you acquired him to be, like you said, a stopgap shortstop, benched in the playoffs. I look up this year, and for the first time, he's like in the outfield. Like, what's going on here?
Who went in that deal?
That was Gio and Gary, I believe, right?
And so, all right. That's the Minnesota. So, didn't Rortvedt come in that deal too? The catcher,
yeah. The Donald,
he's finally healthy. And what'd they do? They sent him down.
Isn't that amazing? Trevino was coming back,
right? So he's back.
So it was Sanchez and Urshela in exchange for Donaldson. I mean, and IKF
again,
and Rortvedt was in the deal.
Donaldson, you know, you're gonna have to live with it, obviously. I mean, he can field at least at that corner, but
But I can't have him batting fifth in playoff games where he's coming up and leaving guys on and just looks completely.
Is that bad?
What really bothers me is his defense is, well, he's an MVP.
Yeah.
He won it in 2015.
He was.
That's almost a decade ago.
That's almost when Babe Ruth was playing.
Well, exactly.
There's like guys on this list who were still playing.
Exactly.
When he
won his MVP. There's a statute of limitations on like how often we can reference that MVP that happened damn near a decade ago.
Now, you mentioned Bader, and that's is the hamstring, they put him on short-term IL, your level of concern. You're a diehard Yankees fan. When you heard about this, are you like, oh, no, here we go?
Yeah.
Like, is he another one of these guys that you feel like it's like, you know, you love what he brings, but what he brings gets hurt?
He's always hurt. And you know what? So when he was coming back, I think I said this yesterday. I underrated like the effect that he could have on the team. I didn't think he was. He hit 5 home runs in the postseason last year. I didn't think he was that guy. History told me like this wasn't what he is. He was brought here to be a shutdown defensive center fielder. And he came back and he raked. The Yankees took off, but now he's hurt again, which is the story of this team. Stanton, always hurt. Bader, always hurt. Like these guys, Donaldson, you know, he's older.
When
and
they
hurt.
Traded for him, he was hurt. This is Brian Cashman loves trading for hurt guys.
Hurt guys. Severino, always
but
hurt.
I don't
Rodon,
know if,
always hurt.
Like, but I don't know if Bader's a guy that stays hurt. I just think the way he plays, you're going to have that. And you just got to give him these games. Now,
he was
postseason,
hurt when you traded for him.
Yeah, I know.
Then he started the year hurt.
I know. And then he's hurt again.
And now he's hurt again.
It does happen. Here's Aaron Boone with a little update.
Low grade. So probably be a couple weeks, but we'll see. I mean, obviously, a guy like him, you know, really, really relies on the legs. And so wasn't bad, but enough to know that, you know, just at least this 10 days are going to be needed.
I mean, think about it this. You proceed with caution with him because it's early in the season, but something tells me if this were October, he'd just play through it. This is not like shut him down. This is more of a let's not linger. Don't let this become a thing that lingers. Let's get rid of it, whatever
yeah,
it is, because he called it low grade.
We also said the same thing about Stanton, and we haven't seen him in 2 months. Those lower extremity injuries are nothing to play with.
Well, the bigger question now is because Aaron Hicks isn't here anymore, is now what do you do at center field? Here's Booney on that.
Yeah, just mix and match. You know, Greg was obviously out there. You know, I might run Izzy out there a little bit. Obviously, Izzy. I can put Judge over there. So we'll just kind of, depending on, you know, who we're facing, what's available to us, who's pitching for us, those kind of things, we'll just kind of piece it together. And again, I don't think it'll be a real long thing for Harrison.
Izzy? Is that the UFC guy, Adesanya? Izzy?
Yeah.
How do we get from, he's talking about Isaiah Kanafaleva.
No. No, is he?
Yeah.
That's who he's talking about?
Yeah. But how do we get from IKF to Izzy?
I don't know. Are you sure that's who he's talking about?
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's who he's talking about. Yeah, he's talking about IKF.
No, I don't think that's who he's talking about.
So who else could he be talking about? Who else is Izzy?
Yeah, I've never heard them reference him as Izzy ever.
Yeah, that's what I'm at. Like, how do we get from IKF to Izzy?
I don't know. This is the problem with me being so damn focused on...
That's who he's talking about.
Is Isaiah, you call him Izzy?
Alan, if it helps you out, I just Googled Yankees Izzy, and the first thing that popped up was a Wikipedia page for Isaiah Kanafaleva.
Oh, my God.
Izzy, everyone, Isaiah? I mean, I think it makes sense.
Isaiah Thomas has never been called Izzy.
Well, that's a little bit different.
Either of the Isaiah Thomases.
Either, yeah, right.
The OG or the former right. Boston Celtic.
Wow. Okay, Izzy it is.
And by the way, someone just tweeted, and we were talking about, you know, the passing of the torch from Joey Gallo to Aaron Hicks.
Yes.
Donaldson's going to, I'm going to give the guy credit at Ice T3K. Donaldson's going to be that guy now. He's going to get the Joey Gallo, Aaron Hicks treatment, but it's all going to him. Because Boone already said,
why is it always
back,
those guys that are like a little, like, you know what I mean? They just have that kind of, what is Rosenberg called? The nozzle kind of way about them.
Well, he was brought here to...
But he'll come in, he'll have like the...
The mohawk
situation
mullet. Going on. he was brought here to be the, you know, fire guys up, light a fire.
Yeah, put some energy into this IBM team.
Yeah, hard to do that when you're hitting under 200.
Yeah, it's really hard to be the straw that stirs the drink when you're a paper straw.
Exactly.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
You don't get a second chance to make a first impression.
You don't. Which is why the first impression happened a month ago.
Month ago?
Yeah, the first time I ever did this when you destroyed me.
You mean this?
Audio files. Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
I can hear it now.
You enunciated. You kind of like...
But I
almost like
enunciate.
You were mocking it. Audio files. Like you were like, yeah, this is a stupid segment, right?
Your cute little audio file.
Like,
segment.
This is adorable.
You guys just want me to be more horny on the air. Yeah, that was Tyler Butler.
That was Tyler. So we need something a little more as if you're in the locker room and the coach just gave a speech that is like Newt Rockne level. Like this, it's Herb Brooks. I know two references you probably don't get. And you're ready to rip the door off its hinges, but he turns to you to give the last word. Ty, you got anything to say to your teammates? And you guys have a slogan, and that slogan is audio files. And that's when the guys know, oh, it's on. Right? You got me now. That's where I need you mentally. So, when I say this... You give that answer that lets the team know it's time to get out on the court. Ready? It's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call...
Audio Files!
The Audio File.
You almost said that like Tracy Morgan. Gonna get you pregnant!
I tried so hard not to laugh.
I don't know, it was good. Very good?
Thank you.
Very good. And of course, yes, it is time for Audio Files. It's brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. So some emotions with the Golden State Warriors is yesterday, Bob Myers. We talked about it on the show, but he officially made it official, that he will be stepping down and leaving the Golden State Warriors. This is a man who is considered the architect of their quote-unquote dynasty, of their four championships, and building a roster with Steph Curry. That became one of the great teams in NBA history.
A dynasty. I know you don't want to say it. A dynasty.
Quote-unquote dynasty. And now, of course, it's like, well, what's next? Well, first and foremost, when people are saying why, is he walking away, he gave a very cryptic answer.
You know, I've only known how to do things one way my whole life is kind of all the way. And it doesn't feel right to do something when I can't give it everything. And that's what it takes. To do what we've done over the last, for me, 12 years.
Giving everything. Like, I'm wondering what's behind all this. Some people think that he and the ownership, they aren't seeing eye to eye. They want him to kind of strip down, stay competitive. They don't want to pay that extra tax. The new CBA, by the way, you got to see this thing.
Makes it tough.
Oh, my God. It's going to be – this offseason is going to be interesting because you're going to see some teams that are going to be trying to shed money so they don't have to get to that second apron that they call it.
Like
which
the
is
Celtics.
The punitive tax. Yes. So anyway, so he's just saying, I can't give my all. Interesting. So Woj, of course, is where we turn when, you know, we want to know what's the truth behind the statement. And so here's Woj. This is from SportsCenter on why Bob Myers is stepping down.
This is something Bob Myers has really been weighing for most of the past year. His contract was expiring. They had not agreed on a new contract. And listen, Bob Myers could have stayed in Golden State, been paid among the highest executives in the NBA. I think ultimately he knows what goes into the job, how taxing it is. Certainly a lot of challenges ahead for the Warriors, and ultimately could not get to a place where he thought he was ready to take all that on, invest all that needed to be invested to stay in Golden State.
You know what I found interesting?
Hmm.
He said that even if they had won a championship, that this decision still could have been made.
Yeah, the rumors were he was leaving after this season. Like, no one thought he was staying. And it started with the fact that he felt like he was worth a lot more salary-wise than the owners were willing to pay him.
But the article does say that they were willing to make him one of, if not the highest paid executives in...
Which he should be. But he should be.
He makes it seem like, you know, he wants to spend more time with family. That's the all-in part of it.
Well, we'll find out pretty soon, won't we?
If he gets another job.
Yeah. Now, for those who are now going, wait a minute, because you see reports of Scott Perry, the general manager of the Knicks, his contract will not be renewed. So after 6 years, Scott Perry will be out as general manager of the Knicks. That is also something that had been rumored regardless, that they were not going to continue with him. Remember, Scott Perry was the guy that Leon Rose came in and took over the franchise and kept Scott around. Scott did a nice job getting the franchise kind of back into some stability after Phil Jackson did all he could to destroy it. And so Perry deserves that, at least that recognition. But he was really, once Leon Rose came in with William Wesley, and then Gerson Rosas showed up, the former Timberwolves general manager, as an advisor, the writing was on the wall. So Perry now will be, at the end of June, he'll be no longer the general manager of the Knicks. And now everybody's like, oh, is Bob Myers coming to the Knicks? Bob Myers is not working for anyone. Mm. Like, wherever he goes next, his boss will be the owner of the team. So, and then by the way, Bob Myers was an agent at one time, just like Leon Rose. In fact, Bob Myers is the reason why other agents started getting into this business. Arn Tellem is in Detroit.
Rob Pelinka.
And Rob Pelinka was a former player and an agent as well. So, like, you're seeing that because of what the success that Myers had.
Brody Van Wagenen.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're right. That didn't work out as well, did it? So, anyways, I don't foresee Bob Myers coming to the Knicks, just so everybody understands that. Gerson Rosas will more than likely move into the vacated general manager position when it becomes officially vacated. That's my guess. All right, so that's out of the way. We continue on audio files. So we do have an NBA Finals beginning tomorrow. We still have to wait one more day. Tomorrow night, game one in Denver, the Nuggets and the Heat. And Mike Malone has this message for his Denver Nuggets team.
Forget the eight seed stuff. I mean, they beat Milwaukee 4-1. Team that had the most wins in the NBA this year. They beat Boston 4-3, and they're up 3-0. Team with, I think, the second most wins in the NBA this year. So you get to the NBA Finals, it's not about seeding anymore. And for those that are thinking that this is going to be an easy series, I don't even know what to say to you people. I mean, like, this is going to be the biggest challenge of our lives. It's the NBA Finals. You know, this is, you're trying to win the first NBA championship in franchise history. It's going to be the hardest thing that we've ever done, which is the way it should be.
So they beat the Bucks in round one.
Yes.
They beat the Celtics in the third round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Did they get a second round bye?
No, straight through.
No, they just didn't play a second round series?
First of all, Michael Malone grew up in Queens, right? He's from New York. His dad coached as an assistant of the Knicks. He was, I believe, Hubie's assistant, Brendan Malone. Brendan Malone was also coached. He's coached all over the league. But Michael Malone is well aware of who the Heat played in the second round. What he was trying to point out was
the number
they
one
beat
is,
the best yes. and the second best team in the East. That's what he was saying. And they also beat the Knicks. he almost like, if he mentioned that, he knows either way it sounds kind of weird, so he just left
it out. He could have said something along the lines of they beat one of the grittiest teams in the league, or like the team led by one of the, becoming one of the best
players.
And
by the way, the Knicks, you know, they really pushed him.
Exactly.
He could have said something nice, but he didn't. Anyways.
Second round bye it is.
All right, so prediction, go. You want to do this tomorrow or you want to do it now?
No, let's do it now. Nuggets in six. I'm tempted to go Nuggets in five. They're clearly the better team.
Same here.
They're better than Same any here. Of these teams that the Heat have faced. I just have too much respect for Spoelstra.
I'm with you. I think I'm leaning five.
I wouldn't
just feel
you.
Like this. Yeah, I feel like Miami has been phenomenal, but at some point they got to turn back into.
Let
a
me ask you this real quick, though.
Yep.
You come away from that Celtics series feeling what? More impressed with the Heat or less impressed?
Oh, no, more impressed with the Heat.
Really? Because they almost blew a 3-0 lead.
Not less impressed. Come on. That series was over in six until a lucky bounce fell into Derek White's hands.
And then they almost became the first team in NBA history to blow a 3-0.
No, they didn't. It wasn't even close because they were winning big early and that game was never... No.
I mean, they were down 11-8 in the first couple minutes.
You're going 11-8. You're going 11-8, huh?
They were down 11. It was a 7-point
game. Don't you know
the
NBA game only matters in the fourth quarter? Don't watch anything else but the fourth quarter. Didn't you ever hear that from all the critics?
I hate that. And also, let's eliminate free throws until the final 4 minutes of the fourth quarter. You saw that?
Jeff Van Gundy. I love Coach. We'll talk about that in the Power Hour. We got lots to get to in the Power Hour, but let's continue on audiophiles right now because let's get in some football. DeAndre Hopkins is out there as a free agent wide receiver now, considering different teams that could be interested in him and places he would like to play, and one of them should be the New York Football Giants. Bart Scott has been saying this from the very beginning, before they even released him. The Giants should do whatever it takes to get DeAndre Hopkins. So Brian Daboll was now asked how interested the Giants are in D-Hop.
Yeah, no, I'd say like last year, anytime there's someone that's available, that's a free agent, I'd say Joe and his staff are going to look into it, research it. You know, we talk about really a lot of different players. So regardless of who it is, that's part of our job is to make sure we're doing our due diligence.
Okay, Joe being Joe Shane, the GM. So Ty, can you BS translate that?
Well, I think it's clear that DeAndre Hopkins wants to play for a contender. And the Giants are many things. A contender, they are not. Mm-hmm. Which is why you'll see the Chiefs, you'll see the Bills, you'll see those teams on that list. Deshaun Watson's recruiting him, but that's, to me, the reason why he ain't going there either. He wants to win a championship.
I mean, that's his guy. They were teammates in Houston, but you don't see that being the obvious place for him to go either.
And I think I saw a report... I saw a report today that there's some anonymous scout or GM who said, you know, D-Hop can't run anymore. So this is the final stage of his career. He wants to win a championship.
Oh, yeah.
And with all due respect to Daniel Jones, who's being paid like one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
All due respect.
He's not one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So if I'm D-Hop, I'm good, to quote the great Alan Hahn.
I'm all set.
I'm all set. Little white flag emoji.
It is.
That's D-Hop waving.
Luis Sessa.
He's waving the white flag if he decides to go to the Giants.
When Daboll begins that thing, like, well, you know, it's just like in the past. Like when they give you those answers, like, well, you know, we'll always look. Yeah, we got to do our due diligence. Dude, whenever a team brings up due diligence, that's like saying, probably not. Yeah, we looked into it. He's not interested. That's what I'm saying. All right. Meanwhile, it's the Jets. Now, Bart also thinks the Jets should try to get Hopkins, but they have a lot of options.
They're missing a guy.
They're missing a guy like that. Well, Garrett Wilson could be that guy. OTA's going on right now, and listen to the Jets coach about his offensive rookie of the year.
The challenge for second-year players is balancing the success they had as rookies, if they had it, and then the newfound success, the social life, the money, all of it, and how do you balance it to keep the main thing, which is attacking football day in and day out. And knock on wood for that kid, he's having a really good OTA. He's a juicy route runner. He's gotten a lot stronger, and his mental makeup, his internal drive is second to none. So it's I'm excited for him this year.
Juicy.
I was just gonna say that.
Route runner.
Why would you say that? He's a juicy route runner.
Juicy route runner.
You guys just want me to be more horny on the air. He's juicy. A lot of pressure on Robert Saleh this year.
Yeah, I think it's very fair to say that. Everybody thinks that Aaron Rodgers is the one that's gonna have to. You know, the New York media is going to be tough on you if the Jets aren't winning. I disagree. The guy that's going to get all of the brunt first is Saleh. There'll be questions. If they end up losing a couple games early, especially close, he'll get the blame. They'll start coming for him, saying that he's not experienced enough. He doesn't know. Whatever it is, they'll find reasons to attack him first. Saleh's the guy on the crosshairs. I completely agree.
There were times last year I'm watching the Jets, and there were some clock management issues. And that's the one thing that annoys me so much. I feel like a lot of these coaches, who know a lot more football than me, obviously, but the clock management thing just...
Now, the one thing to keep in mind, the players love him. Rodgers, very high on him. That's important.
Now they are.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
You start losing some games that you should be winning,
and
it comes down to coaching.
All right. So that is Audio Files.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so as we were just talking about, we heard from Robert Saleh on Garrett Wilson. I never played the Breece Hall thing, though, right?
No, you did not.
Okay, yeah, that's the part, because we were running late, so I had to get done with audio files. But just quickly on Breece Hall, because remember, Breece Hall tore off his ACL. He was on his way to being Offensive Rookie of the Year. And tore his knee up in that game. Was it the Raiders? What game was that?
I feel like that was the Broncos game. Yeah.
And so, anyways, so you don't know. Well, when are we going to see Breece Hall back? Because that's a weapon again for Aaron Rodgers. And Robert Saleh pretty optimistic.
I feel like he won't need to be limited during training camp, even though we still will, just to be conscientious and cautious with him. But he looks awesome.
That sounds like you think he'll be ready for Week 1, then, if you don't think he's limited.
Yeah, I'm very, very optimistic on that one. I don't want to jinx it. I mean, the kid's already hitting over 22 on the GPS, so he looks freaking good. So,
isn't that amazing?
Listen, he was a game. We saw just how significant him not being there meant for their offense, what it became once he was absent.
Oh, yeah.
He was just such a home run hitter.
And it's just, it's amazing what ACL, we were just talking about Bernard King a little while ago. Bernard King, that took him a year and a half. I think he lost like a whole season.
He lost a whole year. And then
played the last six games of the following year.
Yeah. Then he came back and averaged, 22?
Yeah, and then he still had it. He was able to finish the career, but he didn't finish the thing. But the thing is that in the late, look, my situation. Now, again, obviously, professional levels are different, but back then it was all the same. When I blew out my ACL.
But that's the 60s, man. Like that's.
It was the 90s, but okay. It was early 90s. But all kidding aside, in 91, when I tore my ACL the first time, it wasn't fully ruptured, but it was a tear, a significant tear. And here's the advice I got. Leave it alone. Maybe it'll hold on. It was like Tanaka.
Tanaka.
Seriously.
That's a good
it was
reference.
The same I thing like as with Tanaka with the UCL.
Because
the doctor said to me, because I had something else, and he's like, oh, we'll fix that. You'll be back in 4 weeks. I had a torn ACL, but it wasn't fully torn. And he said, it's better to leave it alone because if we have to do reconstruction, you're done. Like, you're done. You'll never play. And so what would you do if you were 20 years old? Would you take the risk of what Bernard went through for a year and a half? So wait, I'm not going to be able to play till I'm 23 in college? No, I'm not doing that. Yeah. So, all right, I'll leave it alone. So what happened in 4 weeks when I returned from the original surgery that was simply a cleanup? Popped it. Bad. Like, I mean, just ruptured. Snapped. Done. Now that's the death sentence, right?
These days, it's not.
I had the surgery done, tried to come back, and the doctor was right. There was no way I could play. No way. Now, guys are getting their ACLs torn. I mean, Odell just does it like every other year now.
So, I struggle with...
It's crazy how it's... Breece Hall coming back in less than a year would be amazing.
I struggle with how much should we expect from him next year, though? Because even though you can come back, it usually takes you a full season. We saw it with Saquon, and then Saquon dealt with, other injuries. It usually takes you a full year to get back to the normal version of yourself.
Yeah,
and us Jet fans who are so...
Thompson.
Yeah. And Klay Thompson actually tore his Achilles and his ACL in back-to-back years.
Mm-hmm.
Us Jet fans who are so thirsty for weapons because it's been so long since we've consistently had it. And, what we saw our last image of him was him being the Offensive Rookie of the Year. Is there going to be a level of, he's not the same guy, but because he needs, he needs that time to get back into the flow of things. So I just wonder, what's his impact going to be immediately next season? Can you depend on him to be, consistently what he was? I don't think you can.
And I can tell you from experience, because even though it was 100 years ago, I remember like it was yesterday, the hardest thing about coming back from these injuries is the trust factor. Saquon had to deal with it.
You know what you should have done?
Cut my leg off?
No, to help you, drink some breast milk. I hear that's like a nice...
Yeah. Yeah, it was a couple of years later where I got to discover that. but then it might have been helpful and regenerate like I was Wolverine.
I'm excited, though. I want to temper my expectations, but I really am excited.
But how amazing is that? Like, that's good news.
It's great news.
Now, some better news is Aaron Rodgers is at OTAs again this week. And Salah also said that, you know, the calf thing last week, that was the catastrophic moment of the our Jets fandom, because you just hear, like, I'll never forget last week, Russini has her tweets, she's there, and Diana's like tweeting out, you know, here he is running out of the tunnel, here he is with his teammates, oh, they're going through warm-ups, and you're like, man, it's really real, he's wearing Jets gear. And then the very next tweet is simply no pictures, no video, just Aaron Rodgers is off to the side, helmet off, looks like he's flexing his ankle. No, what now? Like, no way. You find out it's a calf thing.
Yeah, but the next tweet was Aaron Rodgers was like walking back to...
No, that was Alan Lazard.
Oh, Alan Lazard.
Lazard, that was the other one. Then after that, it says no follow-up on Rodgers. And then it's Lazard is down, he's not getting up. I'm texting her like, what are you doing to me right now?
Coaches are hovered over him. Not sure what he is.
Players are holding their eyes, are holding their faces. Some are praying.
Tears are coming down some of their eyes.
But then the best part is that later on, Lazard has to reveal that it wasn't his knee, it wasn't his ankle, it was just that part of a man that never wants to get hit. And we all relate, but then we're relieved. Imagine being relieved that all he did was just get he just got
kicked in the midsection.
Yeah, that's all, he just got kicked, and it's all good. But still, there is talk that Rodgers could participate in some of the workouts on the field this week. But that's all Salah would say. But the good news is, he's there. He never, in the last 3 years, he didn't do that in Green Bay.
Team bonding. Gotta love it.
Right? Last 3 years, he didn't think it was necessary. But here, it's necessary.
He's doing all the right things. He's checking all the boxes.
And do you need him to participate in any drills and OTAs?
I don't need him to do it.
No.
But I think it's a great look for him coming into a brand new relationship where you're saying all the right things. You're going to all the right concerts and games and sporting events. And you being there with these are brand new guys. Outside of Randall Cobb and Lazard. You know, Garrett Wilson and the two tight ends, and, you know, Mims is still on the team and Corey Davis is still on the team. But it's a brand new relationship where you're trying to rehab your image. So, look, would I go nuts if he wasn't an active participant? No, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I just think for him, like, it's part of checking all the right boxes. Just don't get hurt, please. Don't get hurt.
To me, that's most important.
Don't
I think his presence is important. I think him being there just image-wise looks like optics, as everybody likes to say. That's the best part. But what I also needed was the closure in Green Bay. The one thing that I think Brett Favre ever got over was he wasn't in Green Bay anymore. And while he was with the Jets, he was still very good till the injury. There was just something that never felt like he was, like, he never felt like a Jet.
Hung up on the X.
Yeah. You know what I mean? He never felt like he was a Jet. And then you also knew that while he still was out of Green Bay, his mind was, I'd really like to be in Minnesota. So you just, like, it never felt right. This, as I've said, he has checked every box. He has sung every note, pitch perfect. But you knew that there has to come a time where he finally has closure with the Green Bay Packers. That closure came in a story in The Athletic, in an interview that he did with The Athletic. It is extensive. It definitely shows that there were deep cuts. But there was one thing he said in about the Jets. Just one thing. If you're a Jets fan, you love to hear it. And you will hear it next in the Power Hour. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.